like a long time, Rodney, that you were trying to find that. Had I been down there, the sun would be coming up before I had the tune. Isn't that right, Kent? Okay. Back to Proverbs 15. Proverbs chapter 15, and we began looking this morning at, first of all, just as a refreshment, looking at how that Solomon had written 3,000 Proverbs. The wisest man outside of the Lord Jesus himself. And the Proverbs, just like the rest of the Scriptures, are by divine inspiration. Never think that they are not. And that the what we have here in the Scriptures is a collection of those 3,000 Proverbs that are set down for us. And it is not about philosophy. It's not about science. It's about teaching men and women godliness. So as you read the Proverbs, keep that primary thought in mind. This is about godliness. The primary duty, as Bridges states, is to affix to each Proverbs its own literal and precise meaning, and to draw practical instruction from the obvious sense. And that's what we're seeking to do, or what I'm seeking to do, as we very slowly work our way through the Proverbs. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. And when we look at how we broke that down of despising his father's instruction, regarding reproof, and being prudent, it might read something like this: a fool scorns, rejects, and despises his father's discipline and instruction with the purpose of educating his children. But he that regards this reproof and instruction is cautious and wise in practical affairs, and takes care in matters of the future, especially in regard to his soul. So, a double-sided sword here, a two-edged sword. On the one hand, you have the parent, the parent's responsibility to teach their children, to instruct their children. That is on the one hand. And on the other hand, the children's responsibility to hear the instruction of their parents. Not only to hear, but to obey. And the parent, this instruction is for the child's education, for their spiritual education. It's not just words that are being spoken. It's words that are good for their soul. And that's what we need to keep in mind as parents. And that's at the same time what we need to keep in mind as children. That our parents are not just telling us something to hold us back from doing something that we may want to do, but they're instructing us for our good and for the good of our soul. We began looking at the characteristics of the fool. The fool is an atheist. He says, according to Psalm 51:1, there is no God. And by that there is no God means that there is no law, no order, no restraint to one's lust. If one says that there is no God, he is free to do anything he wants by saying that. And maybe one does not say that with their lips, But inwardly, in their heart, they say it. And when that is the case, think not that the Lord does not know your thoughts, because He does. This fool is also, a characteristic of this fool is that he is a slanderer. And we saw that the hypocrite and the slanderer are both marked with the same stamp, and that is the stamp of a fool. This fool makes a mock at sin. And it was sin, whereby as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And if that is the case, have you been to a funeral? Have you seen a loved one die? Have you stood at the coffin and looked at that loved one in the coffin? Was there any way to bring that person back? Was there any words that you could say to that person that would cause them to rise up and walk? Were they mocking at sin then? Another characteristic of the fool is that they are meddlesome. They meddle in things, and they're ready for strife. They're ready to quarrel at any given time. All brought about by pride. Foolish pride. Foolish pride. And they are self-confident. This is one of the worst, I believe. This is one that strikes a chord with so many. With so many of us in being self-confident. And the word picture here is a word picture of being an imposter. And you know what an imposter is. An imposter is someone that appears to be one thing when they are not. And so we have the imposter of self-confidence in our own lives. And we begin to trust in that imposter. We begin to trust in ourselves. We begin to trust in our education. We begin to trust in our status or in our jobs or our calling or whatever it is. And then if you add into that in self-confidence, if you add into that those that would bolster that pride within us, And then we begin to really think, you know, it's not just me that thinks this way. Others think this way about me as well. It must be so. I must be greater than I thought. And so we have this self-confidence, and many times it's unknowing. Just as we read about the Apostle Peter. Lord, don't worry about me. I'll be there with you. Even unto death, Lord. I will be. Maybe these others won't be there, these other 11, but Lord, I'll be there. Does that sound like it may have been how it went at this? And the Lord sees through all of that. He sees through all of that self-confidence. And what is that? It's foolish pride. At every turn, it's pride, pride, pride. We think we're something that we are not. As we look through the Scriptures time and time and time again, we're told about humility. And we looked at that in 1 Peter. This morning. 1 Peter 5:5. Let's turn there again. 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger. Does that speak to anyone in this room? Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with pride? No, with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So when you see this, when you see this in yourself, that's a sin, and that's a sin of self-confidence that needs to be confessed. And then we did not get, that's where we left off, and I have but one more, and that is hypocrisy. Another characteristic of the fool is hypocrisy. Luke 11:39. Luke 11:39-40. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Now this is very, these words are very similar to what we have in some of the other Gospels, but it actually appears as though the Lord spoke this more than on more than one occasion about the Pharisees and about them making clean the outside of the cup and platter. And we looked at this at camp as well when we had the gravy bowl that looks so nice on the outside and everything, but then when you poured it out, what was it on the inside? It was nothing but muddy, filthy, putrid water inside. The Lord says that's how it is. That's this hypocrisy of the Pharisees, not just the Pharisees. These are words for all eternity. These are words for us tonight. It's not enough to get all cleaned up. And I had on the jacket and the tie. And everything looked nice on the outside. But then I took my jacket off and the tie off, and when I took my shirt off and I had the other shirt underneath, and it was a filthy, filthy shirt. And those things need to be taken off. Those things need to be gotten rid of. Put off those things, say the Scriptures. And put on, it's not merely a matter of putting off, it's also a matter of putting on. So you can't say that I've done great. You know, I'm patting myself on the back. I put off this. I put off that. This is the same thing that those that came to the Lord Jesus said. I've done this. I've done that. I've done all of these things. The Lord sees the heart. That's the good news and the bad news. Your inward part, says the Lord Jesus, is full of ravening and wickedness. And the meaning here is in spite of their extreme care for the vessels of their table, their whole moral life was defiled. Forget about that outward show. It's the inward. It's the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. We can't say that or repeat that enough. Now, I said this morning, how is it that this fool despises and dishonors his parents' instruction? Again, a list of six. Number one, stubbornness. By stubbornness. Deuteronomy 21:20. Deuteronomy 21:20. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. This stubbornness, the a stubbornness and a rebelliousness against their parents. They will not obey our voice. When a child is like that, he demonstrates the characteristic of what is described here. And what should be remembered, and this is a sad situation, but it's true nonetheless. I know it very close and very personal. The children that forget their duty must thank themselves and not blame their parents if they are regarded with less and less affection. This is a fact. It's a fact that happens. Through stubbornness. Number two, lack of respect. Deuteronomy 27:16. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen. It's a lack of respect to show contempt for your parents. It's a sin that fell under the sentence of the magistrate, and they must be put to death. At this period of time, that was the penalty. But to make light of one's parents is to do so in the heart, something that is not, that is not always visible by the outward, but it's to make light of one's parents in the heart. And that was the thing which the magistrate could not see. But even more than the magistrate, it fell under the curse of God, who knows all, who knows the heart. So while the ungodly would say, I have escaped the magistrate, he does not see how I am, and yet I am this way in my heart. And yet while all the time he thinks that he has escaped the judgment, he's under the curse of God. Number three, despising their mother. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. A foolish man despiseth his mother. A parent's brightest joy and their most bitter sorrow come by the actions of their children. And I know you that are parents can relate to that. Your brightest joy comes by the actions of your children. Your greatest sorrow comes by the action of your children. The same thing. So while those of you that are young, that are hearing these words now, before marriage, and you are yourself a child in the home, remember that. In your parents' eyes, your actions bring them the greatest joy. And by those reverse actions, they will bring the greatest heartache to your parents. You will also be parents at some point. And everything seems to go around. The law of God commands honor and reverence, especially to our parents. And the transgression of this law will not be forgotten. Number 4, cursing their father. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. We read this morning. Do you remember what we read this morning? We read it together this morning. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. And verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. One of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There is great blessing and there is great curse attached to how a child behaves himself towards his parents. Number 5, strife in the household. Strife in the household. Micah 7, 6. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. What the prophet is saying here is that the wife was ready to betray her husband. The son treated his father with reproach. And in short, that all had forgotten humanity and their natural affection. Disobedience. Number 6, disobedience. 2 Timothy 3:2. Begin at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. One of this laundry list that is given here, disobedient to parents. One of the things that we see here, what is it that Paul is addressing, and Paul considers to be one of the terrible problems in the land? Was it war? Was it disease? Some other calamity that was going to befall the people? Was that the message of the day? Certainly not. Not by the Apostle Paul, anyway. If the Apostle Paul were here today, would he be proclaiming and talking about global warming? Would he be talking about the price of gas, or the price of milk or food, or the interest rates? Would these be the things that would be on Paul's mind today that are the huge and monumental problems of the world today? It would be the same thing that we read here in Scripture. It would be the wicked and depraved ways of sinful men. Those that are lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. That in and of itself is a message all by itself. So many are unthankful for the simplest thing to the largest thing. They just go on their way with their head in the clouds. They receive blessing after blessing. They receive kindness after kindness. And they just go about their merry way and never say a word. And yet they would say, "But I'm really thankful. I am really thankful. Does it ever show?" Well, no, it never shows, but I am thankful. See, being thankful shows up in your actions. Unholy, without natural affection. That's huge in today's lifestyle. Truth breakers, false accusers, fierce despisers of those that are good. That's what we saw this evening in John chapter 4, 1 through 3. The Pharisees were so upset with the Lord Jesus for all the good that He was doing and the miracles that He was doing. They were despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's certainly today's headlines on the paper. And verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There are those that have that form that appear to be that which is right, which is true, and yet they deny the power thereof. Are you to get arm in arm with those people? Are you to be buddy-buddy with those people? From such, turn away. That's the advice of Scripture. It may not be the advice of the present day and age, but it's what the Holy Scripture tells us. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then Timothy lists some of these. I could go on, but I would not finish with the prudent. We have looked at the foolish, the fool, and how the fool is, and the characteristics of the fool, and how the fool dishonors and despises his parents' instruction. And yet the fool would say, the foolish young person would say, but I don't despise my father's instruction, even though I show a lack of respect, even though I despise my mother, even though I'm stubborn, even though I curse my father, even though I'm constantly stirring up strife in the household, even though I'm disobedient. The marks are, is that you do, by your actions, you despise and you dishonor your parents when you are like this. These are things that we need to think about. We need to think about them as parents, and we need to think about them as children. And for those of you who are younger and will be parents, how important it is to instruct your children in these things. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord, for this, your word. Looking at just a very short verse out of the book of Proverbs, we thank you for the message, and we pray, Lord, that you would drive it home to our minds and to our hearts. And as was prayed earlier, that they may not just be idle words that are drifting off into space that never take hold. We pray, Lord, that we would not be as a leaky vessel, but that we might be full and brimming over with your truth. And we ask this in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.